enjoyed the privilege of the conference very much. Felt it heartwarming to see so many young ones and young families. I say God bless you in your exercise. Be careful and cautious that the devil doesn't come in the back window or the back door and hurt the work of God. Nehemiah, please, chapter 1, verse 3. I'll try to be as quickly as I can and yet reverent, that there's time for as many as possible. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, the last part of the verse. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Luke's Gospel, please, chapter 1 and verse 1. Luke 1 and 1. Forasmuch, or as it is well known, as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. I'd like to trace, I won't do all my reading at once, some of the meetings of the local assembly, the value of it. It's a divine place. It's the place where he's placed his name. I'm not going to ask you this afternoon when you're saved. I'm not going to ask you this afternoon when you were baptized. I'm not even going to ask you when you came in the assembly, but I'm going to ask you when you found out the truth of gathering outside the camp unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Theoretically, it should have occurred before you came into the assembly, but that's not always the case. But as you weave in the Word of God, I'm thoroughly convinced there's no other place. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us a place. It's a place of testimony. It's a place of separation. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place where he is to have authority. Weave over into 1 Corinthians and you're going to find 62 or more times, I'll have to work on my arithmetic, I guess, where I find out that he's Lord. I find he's to be head of the church, which is his body. He wants the place of Lord in the local assembly. We do not fit the book to what Christendom does. We do not color in the lines to what Christendom does. But we have the privilege to attempt to follow what the Word of God says. Oftentimes in the new works, the questions ask, what's your creed or what's your doctrinal statement? Very simply, the Word of God. And we have the privilege to attempt to stay in the boundaries that are found in the Holy Scriptures. The center of our gathering is the Lord Jesus Christ. The controller is to be the Holy Spirit. And our creed, the Word of God. And our company, some of the saints of God. So turn to the book of Acts, please, chapter 2. And I just want to trace some of the meetings of the local assembly, call it a short opening review. Sometimes it's good to review. Maybe you never forget something, but I can have that happen. I was telling one of the brethren that to eliminate where I put my keys sometimes when I have the vehicle, I tape them to the, I have a pair taped on the axle underneath. So if my car is in the yard sometime and you need to get in, well, you just cut the black electrical tape and you're in. Because I have to confess at times I've had the unique ability of locking my keys in the vehicle. And I find it kind of embarrassing when people are observing that. So it's good to review. Things that are surely believed among us, because if we do not have a grip and a grasp of what the Word of God says, the walls will be broken down. And we won't be able to build and bind and bless the people of God. Assemblies are built up by doctrinal teaching. They're not built up by social times. They're built up by the Word of God. That's what's going to build us. That's what's going to bind us. That's what's going to guide us. So Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they, notice that gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A brother told me, he says, in the day and age we live today, we think we preach 3,000 times before we see one saved. Well, it's not quite that much, but you and I know you do a lot of preaching to see ones and twos come to know him whom to know is life eternal in the Northwest. And they continued, notice, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I like to ask questions, and maybe those of us that work in the gospel more than ministry, we're used to asking questions, but what does the word steadfastly mean? And how does it apply to my life? And that is, I know what it means, and we all know what it means. How steadfast am I really in the things of God? How steadfast am I really in the meetings of the local assembly? You weren't received to the breaking of bread. I hope you know that. You were received to the privileges and the responsibilities of the assembly. They used to tell me years ago, and I don't know if it's true or false, that the prayer meeting is the spiritual barometer of the assembly. How many are out at a prayer meeting here? I don't know, because I come usually and I have the privilege to open the Word of God. And sometimes on a unique occasion, when they know the preacher's coming, you get a few more in, and you actually get them a little earlier than normal. But that's just kind of history, at least in the States, maybe not in Canada. But if you're not at the meeting, you know there's a weakness in the assembly, and it's necessary. And so as much as possible, God desires that we would continue steadfastly. Why would I want to do that? It's because where the Lord is. And it's because that's where my heart wants to be. I might have told a story about old Granny. They called her in the assembly. They called her Granny. And they says, Granny, how come you're at all the meetings? You don't have the best of health and walking's difficult. Well, she says, that's very simple. My feet follow where my heart is. If your heart's in the assembly, I think you'll be at the prayer meeting. I think you'll try to be at the other meetings. I know sickness and things come, but it's not optional. And in the assembly meetings, there needs to be reverence, because holy and reverent is our God. Is he in our midst today? You say, of course he is. Then holy and reverent. And God is to be greatly feared in the gathering of his people together. Psalm 87. So I just want to touch on a few of the truths. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. I'll just touch a little bit, a couple seeds on the breaking of bread and weave down. And I'll try to watch the clock immensely for the maximum time to hear the most truths of God, if you want to label it that way. Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 26. And verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's a command. It's one of the meetings of the local assembly, and you really can't be a partaker of the breaking of bread until you're in the local assembly. And as you weave in the Word of God, you're going to come to 1 Corinthians. I won't take time to turn to it. And you're going to find that, unfortunately, they were conducting themselves disorderly. And you will find that there were technical problems there. But I just want to hover for 1 second there on verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11. It says, Let a man examine himself, and so let him partake. Now suppose somebody comes to the door next Lord's Day here, and the brethren are standing at the door, the elders, and, well, I'm a Christian, yeah, and I've been baptized. I've been reading in the Word of God that I should break bread the first day of the week. Well, would you receive him? He says, I've examined myself. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, I've got no clouds between me and God or any man on earth. That examination is for those that are in the assembly, I hope you realize. It's not for the outsider that's coming. And as you weave into John's gospel, you're going to find that Judas was not there for the breaking of bread. He was there prior to the institution, then he went out, took the sop, and he began to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's good to have a real grip and a grasp. There is an inside and there is an outside. Turn over to Acts chapter 9, and there's a Barnabas that comes along, and he wants to introduce Saul of Tarsus. And you'll come to the word there, Acts 9 and verse 27. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. That means he attempted to adjoin. He attempted to adjoin, and they had the heebie-jeebies. This man? This radical fanatical that was killing people and persecuting him? There's no way we want him to come amongst us. Nobody has received on the first visit that I find in the Word of God. And so as I find in the Word of God, the breaking of bread is one of the meetings you will find, Acts chapter 2, that we gathered to his name outside the camp in assembly capacity have the privilege to enjoy being where he is. And what do we do there? Well, I just saw it this morning. But you say, what's... Well, we try to tell the Father the beauties that are found in his Son. There's not always time for everyone to rise. And the sisters are to be silent, we found in the Word of God. And I know that's considered archaic outside. And people say that's ridiculous. Why, I've got a PhD degree and I earn more than you do and I'm smarter than you. I know that. But no, it's the order God gives. And in the local assembly, it's for his honor, for his glory. So we should come exercised but not determined. And the sisters to come just as exercised as the brethren, even though they're not going to be rising, that the prayers silently and audibly can come to the Father to express thanks for his well-beloved Son. And it's good to come exercised but not determined, that if there's time, might be able to just give a little word to encourage and help God's people. Some of the truths of God aren't the most valuable truths of God after the breaking of bread. Not to say they're not valuable, but it's not always the best time for the company of believers. And so one of the meetings that's found in the Word of God is the breaking of bread. I'd like to say that the theme is Christ. And there's a condition to avoid when you come over into Luke chapter 22. And it's unique and surprising that this condition occurred right after the breaking of bread. There was a strife amongst his own. I hope there's no strife amongst us before the meeting. And I hope there's no strife amongst us after the meeting, because it's never of God. If you ever had the sad responsibility, whatever you want to call it, to sit there with strife. Now suppose us sitting up here like peacocks yesterday, there was strife amongst us in a Bible reading. You wouldn't remember the subject. You'd only remember that John didn't get along with somebody and say how sad it is. It is devastating to the work of God and harmful to us, the people of God. And it occurred right after the breaking of bread. Acts chapter 14, the report meeting. What does it mean? How does it apply? Verse 26. Verse 26 of Acts 14. And hence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work of God, which they fulfilled. And then when they had come, they had gathered the church together and they rehearsed, notice, all that they did. Not at all. All that God had done with them. And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. I'd like to suggest that there's a number of places in the Word of God. Chapter 21. Also that you'll find that there's a report meeting. Chapter 15 also. The report meeting is not a meeting where you're going to go. The report meeting is never hints or suggestions. That's never to be. Everything in prayer and supplication and requests unto God. The report meeting is when you come home. And you tell to the home assembly what doors God opened up and how God worked. So Brother Allen, when he returns home to Scotland, I hope the brethren allow him to have a report meeting. Not to tell what he did, but to tell what God did. And to tell that doors were opened and all those ramifications. And so I view that as one of the meetings of the local assembly. Where there's a report given, not where you're going to go, but what you have done. Chapter 13 of the book of Acts. I'm just rattling down quickly. Hope you don't mind that. If you do, you can tell me after the meeting. We'll try to get more polished. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Commendation of the Lord's servant. Now there were in the church that is Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger and Lucius and Scari of Crete, and Manon, which have been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said unto Barnabas and Saul, separate for the work. I've got ink that dropped over that letter in the Bible. It's embarrassing. Whereunto they called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. And they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. I view that as a meeting of commendation for the work of the Lord. We should be looking for younger ones that are coming along with gift and ability. If you want to join me in the tent sometime, please let me know. And if the elders are happy with it, I'd be super happy to have you come or in a new work. We are looking for men and women, and I trust in this audience as it's filled from wall to wall and door to door. Thank God for it, that you that have gift in this audience, we know that, will be stirred by God, that someday maybe you'll be willing to be called by God and to labor for God full time. It's dreadful to say in the North American continent of the United States, from the southwest to the northwest and on up into the coast of Canada, There are no young workers today. None under 50. We are desperately in need of God working and believers getting stirred by God. Could I say to stop chasing the greyhound in the track, as it were, like yesterday, and take seriously the things of God? I think Mr. McCandless would agree. We're definitely in need of workers. It takes God to raise them. It takes encouragement by God's people. And so this meeting for commendation, if you want to allow it that way, is to commend them to the work of God because they have already been doing a work. Nobody is to be commended that hasn't done a work. How would I know what your gift is? Never had a gospel series? Never saw a soul saved? Never ministered the word of God to see whether a month later, a year, a while later, there's been help by it? That's never found in the word of God. When a man's going to be an elder in assembly, he's already been doing the work and he's recognized for the work that he's doing. And when a man's going to step out in the work of God, he's already known that he's been doing this work and it's evident God is working and using and helping and enabling in that. Commendation is putting the stamp, if you want to say, of the assembly upon it that we agree that God has fitted for this work. And a prayerful going. No guarantee of support anyway. It comes from God himself. Paul and Barnabas were personally called. The Holy Spirit, as we read in the account, were called to others also. 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 1. And verse 23. 23rd verse, first chapter, epistle of 1 Corinthians. And you do know that 1 Corinthians has more local church truth than any other epistle. And you find in verse 2, as in every place are all the churches. So it wasn't just to Corinth. But he says in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. Now who is that? I'm going to suggest it's the assembly. I'm going to suggest that the gospel meeting is part of an assembly meeting. You say, well, I don't agree with him. That's fine. I find in Colossians 1 and 28, we warn every man. I find in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I find in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the assembly is striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, of course, we go in new works, and Brother Ross is here and does a tremendous amount, and we say, God bless you for it. But when it comes to the local assembly, a gospel meeting is part of an assembly meetings. Doesn't tell us in the Word of God to have it Sunday night, Saturday night, Monday night, or Wednesday night. The same for any of the meetings other than the breaking of bread. Acts 20, on the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. That's going to be with the timing of the needs of the people of God and the timing of the needs of the community. The gospel meeting is the lifeline of the assembly. If you want to see the assembly grow, you're going to need the gospel of the grace of God that souls might be saved. And the gospel meeting will warm your heart and will warm my heart, and it'll warn sinners. And I trust that you don't just put the sign outside, nice to have one, but I trust during the week you're inviting people in, that you're working on it. You know, a lot of times, nobody's ever invited the whole week. And Sunday night, they invite you to come and speak, you know, if you're in a local area a little more. Well, who did you invite to come? Nobody. 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 You don't know anybody? Well, I know somebody. If you don't invite them, they're not just going to walk through the door usually. Thank God now and then it happens. He says to them, compel them to come. So let me just ask you, from the front row all the way to the back, and believe it or not, I can see you without my glasses on. Who did you invite to hear the gospel? Who did you invite to come to the conference? Who are you going to invite next week to hear the gospel preached? You know where your neighbor's going to go. You know where that workmate's going to be. And if we have a love for them, we should try in our own way, in our own style, however you want to put it, not to burn down bridges, if you want to call it that way, but kindly, graciously invite them and nudge them along that they might hear words whereby they might be saved. They're blinded. They don't know they're going to be in hell. They don't know what's on the other side. We know what's on the other side. That God might help us to compel them to hear the word of God. And there could be in the meeting, in the local assembly, it could be a discipline meeting. It could be in a number of different ways. It could be public rebuke. It could be in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 for moral sin. I view it myself, maybe all don't agree with me, there's no contention, that it's not really tacked on to the breaking of bread. I see it as a separate meeting. If it's tacked on to the breaking of bread, most know what's going to happen, and the breaking of bread seems to be not too much worship. I link it as a separate, special meeting of the assembly for the preservation of the assembly and for the restoration of the individual. And there's the prayer meeting. 1 Timothy, men ought to pray everywhere. Did you know when it comes to praying, it takes no gift? Some brethren are more eloquent, use more words. Some quote the Bible. Of course, the Lord knows that already, I think. But prayer is an exercise of the heart. Whether it be 2 words or 20 words or 2,000 words, I think the longest public prayer in the Bible is 5 or 7 minutes at my reading speed. It takes no gift to pray. I got a small hand. I can't span a basketball and hold it with one hand. Some of you can. Would to God we could put aside the fear of man and bring our thanksgivings and petitions to God. That's the prayer meeting. We've all got needs. Travel long enough, you'll have a couple heartaches. We've got the privilege to boldly come before the throne of grace, to find grace to help in time of need. 1 Thessalonians 5, brethren, pray for us. It takes no gift. It takes an exercise. Acts chapter 11, please. And verse 26. Verse, 11th chapter, book of Acts. And when they had found him, they brought him unto Antioch. And a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and he taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I want to suggest that there's scriptures for a ministry meeting, a teaching meeting. It's for those primarily that are gifted in teaching. The gospel meeting, I don't believe, is for everyone either. It's for those that have ability or a gift in the gospel. I want every young one to try and every young one to do it 100 times. But if it's not your gift, there's no sense doing it. You're spinning your wheels. But the ministry meeting is essential. That's how we're going to be built up. That's how we're going to be strengthened. It says give attention to it. Not optional. I don't know if you have ministry meetings here or not. It's a good thing I don't know. But I would assume so. And I hope it's not just when a preacher comes along. You know what I say, respectfully. Because that's food for God's people. And it's guidance to help us. You know, I had a lovely meal downstairs. And I have every time here. But suppose I didn't have anything all weekend to eat. I think I'd be a little more hungry. I think I'd be a little more tired. And whatever else takes place with those things. Can you imagine when you don't hear the food of the Word of God? And you don't hear the food from the Word of God, it creates a weakness in the assembly. It creates a deficiency. That's why he wants us to be at every meeting. And you say, well, I don't want to hear John, you know, he's just an old fogey. That's fine. You're going to hear the Word of God, and it's going to help you when it's read. It's going to give you food, and so we should give attention to reading, give attention to the Holy Scriptures. The assembly is a place of separation. Fellowship of his Son, divine rule, a place of holiness. It's a place of mutual care. One another, loving one another, caring for one another. A variety of gifts. No one man has every gift. And there's room and time for development of gifts. And then when you're in the local assembly, two of the most offensive things to people that I've found from the outside is the women wearing a head covering and keeping silent on the room of the unlearned or the room of the observer. For some reason. Why is that? When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you're going to find the room of the observer or the room of the unlearned. It'll help keep the collection orderly. It's a place where you can learn with a teachable spirit. You find, it says, God is in you of a truth. It distinguishes from the within and without. It's not inferior or superiority. It eliminates confusion. It's a location, not a condition, I want to view. 98 times out of all the times that it occurs, it's an actual physical place. When they came to the place, Golgotha, he put his sword in his shield, in his sheared. It was an actual physical place. Vine labels it as one that's not learned, not skilled, not educated. It's not dealing with the language that some try to say. And the will of God will never go against the teaching of the Word of God. You come in Galatians 2, you find the word place is a different word. You come to Matthew 2, Artichaeus did reign in the room of his father, the place of his father. It's a different word than a physical place. So I encourage you to do a word study on it. You'll find it enlightening to see that it is an actual scriptural teaching found in the Word of God. Then I'll stick my neck out for a minute before I sit down. And people say, well, what about women's meetings? I say, well, I can't find it in the book. And if I can't find it in the book, I guess we'll just let it go. I find there's mothers of Israel, sisters come along and teach other sisters and help them. God bless you. But I don't find a women's meeting in the Word of God. I hope that's not offensive to you. Some places it becomes big debates, shame on them. We just want to look in the Word of God. We just want to carry out what he says. And so thankfully the Word of God is clear and plain. We gather unto him and we have the privilege to come and to be where he is and to sit at his feet, and that we might go away a different way than we came, for his honor and glory.